A New Testament word. Let's just begin reading at verse number 12, and then I'll go back to our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I want you to notice again in verse number 14, I just want to lift a little phrase out there and teach you something. I'm not sure exactly what direction we're going to be going into. We're going to have an interruption here in a couple of weeks for vacation Bible school, and then maybe we'll start something. So we'll just fill in with a few things. And one thing tonight I just think we all need. I know I need it. And I want you to just focus in verse number 14 on a little sentence that says this: be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. And I want to speak on this subject tonight for a little while, three directions of our patience. Three directions of our patience. When it says be patient with all men, there are three directions that we must have for our patience. We have to be patient people. The word patient is sometimes synonymous with the word long-suffering. The word patience also means enduring faith. Enduring faith. When you go through a trial in your life or a season in your life that lasts a long time, and you keep the faith, and you don't lose the faith, and you keep trusting and keep believing until it comes to pass. That enduring faith is called patience. Patience literally means to be long in spirit, not to lose heart, to persevere, to be slow to anger, to be slow to punish. These are some of the definitions of patience, and we need to have patience. Our text says, be patient toward all men. Every one of us should be in the ministry. Every one of us. Young people, you should be in the ministry. You should be trying to minister to people, not just your age. You can minister to others, younger, older. All of us, adults, senior citizens, we all should be ministers. And we all should be trying to perfect our ministry so it can become more fruitful. And one of the things we've got to have is patience. And so let me give you three directions now. In order for us to obey this admonition, be patient toward all men, I want to give you three categories of men then that you need to be patient towards and that I need to be patient towards. Number one, be patient with sinners. Number one, be patient with sinners. Now, we're all sinners. Okay, I'm a sinner. I know that. But in my outline here, number one, we're talking about the lost. We're talking about the lost. There's two kinds of sinners. There's saved sinners and lost sinners. All right? Those that are outside of Christ are still yet lost. Lost in their trespasses and sins. Condemnation of God abides on them. They need to be saved from their sins. We just kind of lump them together with the phrase sinners tonight. And we need to be patient with sinners. Keep your place here and turn back to the book of Luke in chapter number 8 and verse 15. in Luke 8 and verse 15, as the Lord was speaking on the parable of the sower and using it to compare to our soul-winning efforts, our efforts to try to evangelize others, he said this in verse 15 of the parable. He said in Luke 8, 15, "But that on the good seed, good ground are they which of an honest and good report, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Now that means they bring forth fruit in themselves with patience. They slowly become a Christian and take on the graces of the Christian life. But also means they bear fruit. In other words, they're not going to go to heaven alone. I want to strongly urge you tonight, do not go to heaven alone. Take somebody with you. If you're saved, if you have a testimony, even though you don't know all the scriptures, you know enough to tell somebody else about Christ and what he did for you and how he can save you from your sins, their sins, and give them eternal life. You know enough. But as you're trying to reach sinners, and every one of us should be trying to reach sinners, we need to be patient with them. Don't try to cram it down their throats. All right, don't try to twist their arms. Don't try to force them to say prayers. But be patient with them. In James chapter 5, and I'll read this one to you. James chapter 5, it says in verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold the husbandmen," and that's a synonym for a farmer. "Behold the husbandman," or the farmer, "waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." And it talks here about us trying to gather a harvest of souls. And it says the husbandman waiteth and hath long patience. I mean, they've already drilled corn around here, but they're not going to pick any to the end of August, the first part of September. And it's usually knee-high by the 4th of July, we used to say on the farm. They have long patience for it, and they're waiting, they're trusting God, they're working with God, trusting God to send the early rain and the latter rain. And they have to have patience. If you don't have patience, you're not going to be a farmer, or a gardener for that matter. You got to have patience to do those things. But if you're going to bear fruit, you've got to have some patience. If you want to turn back with me to 1 Corinthians, I want to show you how this works in being patient with sinners. It says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry," that is his farmers, "you are God's building." We are laborers together with God. God is working with us. And this text says that one sows and another waters, but God gives the increase. When we're trying to harvest souls for Jesus Christ, it's the same thing spiritually. One person sows, somebody says something, and it puts a seed thought into that person's heart that may sit there for years. And then somebody else waters. A few years later sometimes, somebody else says something, and it waters that seed thought that somebody else had sowed years earlier. But eventually God gives the increase. My dad is a perfect example. My dad was a drunk for a while. He, not on purpose, but he just didn't know how to cope with my mom dying of cancer, and he just turned to alcohol. He was a functional addict, if you will. I mean, he was able to keep a job and so on and so forth. And men at work started to witness to him. Men at work that he worked with two men who were born-again Christians. And one of them lives right over here in Derby, and his name's Ellsworth Ivy. And I went over to see him one time, and I said, "I want to thank you for talking to my dad about Christ. And being patient with him. He didn't try to ram it down his throat. He'd leave tracks around where they worked. They worked together as meat cutters. A&P. And he got my dad a Bible. And they had an agreement at work. The guys that were saved liked to hear a couple of the preachers on the radio, like Perry F. Rockwood and Jimmy Swaggart and some of those guys that were on back in those days. And they agreed with my dad that if they would let them listen to those preachers during those times, they would let my dad listen to his music the rest of the time. So my dad was hearing preaching every day and seeing their example and seeing their love and their concern. And it took 7 years of that, 7 years, before my dad one day took the Bible they had given him and sitting on a rock out by Casanova Creek in Buffalo, it all made sense. And he stopped his life and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. And my dad was radically changed in 1968. And a year later, 69, he got me and my brothers under the sound of the gospel in a Bible preaching church, and we got saved. We've been saved ever since. Amen. Because once the Lord really saves you, he does a good job at it, and he saves you forever. But I'm glad they were patient with him. My dad always tells me about how they were patient with him, and they tried to answer his questions, and they left the seed there, and one sowed, and another watered. And this verse right here says that, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen, you will get a reward in heaven just for sowing the seed. So you never know. I mean, you might sow the seed. When I was in high school at Orchard Park High School, kids always laughed at me because I carry my Bible around. And I carry tracts in my pocket and so on and so forth. I try to witness to them. And they'd laugh at me and stuff. But I've told you this story before. I went to my 20th high school graduation. And about a half dozen of them that night made their way to find me to tell me that since they had gotten out of high school, they had trusted Christ as their Savior. And one of them, the valedictorian of the class, had become a youth pastor in a Baptist church. And these were people that had laughed at me, but I had sown a seed thought in their hearts. And I'm glad that I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And I'm glad I took the laughter and the ridicule and so on and so forth, because it's so to see. There's too many people today that are paralyzed with fear. They're afraid to say anything. They're afraid to offend anybody. And man, we have got to get over that. The person who is stopped by fear accomplishes no more than a lazy person. Both do nothing. And there are souls at stake. There are souls all around us that we live with and work with and in our neighborhoods that somebody has to say something to them. And what I'm trying to say to you tonight is we need to be patient with sinners, because you don't know if something you say today and they laugh at you, they think you're a jerk, they think you're a religious nut, you tried cramming the Bible down my throat and all that other stuff, 20 years from now, it might be that seed that's watered that'll give the increase. We have got to get over. The Bible says we need to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. I remember one critic of D.L. Moody. I remember reading a story. D.L. Moody was a guy back in the late 1800s who made a vow to God that he wouldn't go to bed any night of his life until he had witnessed to somebody about their soul and their need to Christ. I wouldn't make any vows if I were you unless you're going to keep them. But every day he would go out. He would look for opportunities. Every day God would give him opportunities to win souls to Christ. He won a lot of souls to Christ. But that agitated a lot of believers. Why? It put them to shame. One lady, a refined lady, came up to him at church one day and said, "You know, I really don't like your methods of soul winning and evangelism. I think you're turning off a lot of people." And he was very humble about it. He says, "Dear lady," he says, "I agree with you. I don't like my methods of soul winning much either." He said, "What are your methods of soul winning?" And she said, "Well, I don't do it." And he said to her, "Well, dear lady, then I like my methods of doing it a lot better than your methods of not doing it." And I agree with Moody. I agree with D.L. Moody. It's better to do it than to not do it. And we need to be careful because the same thing happens in our church. Same thing happens at the fairs and so on and so forth. The person who's trying is criticized. Listen, I'd rather have somebody in this church talk to 10 people and maybe offend 3 of them, but the other 7 hear the gospel and maybe 3 or 4 or 5 of them get saved. I'd rather be that person standing at the judgment seat someday than the person who's down there here chewing their fingernails because so-and-so may have offended somebody. Well, if I brought someone to church or something, I'd rather have them get offended. And at least just before they're thrown into hell, they'll remember the one person who tried to save their soul, rather than the 99 who just sat there in silence. And we need to thank God for those that are trying and get behind them 1,000% and ask ourselves, why am I not doing it? But as we try to win souls, we don't go out and purposely offend them, but we realize our message offends people. Look, there's people out there, no kidding, you can take a track out and say, how you doing today, sir? I just want to leave this with you. It's just something maybe you could consider sometime and really help me out in my life and just change my life. I thought maybe you could read it. There are people that will turn around and say, that guy tried jamming the Bible down my throat. That's what they'll say. You got to get over that stuff, or you'll never witness. You'll never witness. You've got to get over the responses. Well, so-and-so at your church tried talking to my friend, and they got so offended. So what? The gospel is an offense to this world. It offends people's pride. It offends people's religion and so on and so forth. I'd rather see them go to hell offended than to go to hell unwarned. At least say somebody, one person tried. So we need to sow. We need to water. It is God that gives the increase. It is God that gives the increase. We need to know when to back off. We need to know when to just leave the seed planted, when to water the seed and let God work. But God can save anyone. God can save anyone. And some of the people, listen, some of the people who are the most offended will end up getting saved. Yeah. Eventually, they need to get offended. They need to get rocked to the foundation of their soul sometimes by what somebody said. Look, who would have ever thought, who would have ever on this earth thought the Apostle Paul was going to get saved the day he got saved? If you'd have seen him that morning, before he got saved, who said, hey, this is the day of salvation for this guy. I can see it. No, we don't know how God's working. We do not know how God's... That guy was angry. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughters. He was about ready to destroy more Christians when he found Christ as his Savior. You don't know. That person who got so upset because someone tried to witness to him, you don't know how close they are to getting saved. God could be just, they could be just under such great conviction. Paul was that way. In John chapter number 4 and verse number 38, it says, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. There's times where you'll come across somebody at the fair or comes into church, and they will be ready right then to accept Christ as their Savior. You know why? Somebody else had been working on them. Somebody else had been praying for them. Somebody else had been witnessing for them, and they just happened to cross your path, and you were the one that was there to harvest the soul. We've got to be patient with sinners, and we've got to sow and water and let God give the increase. But remember what else I said today, too. You got to do something. You got to sow if you're going to have a harvest. You can't have a harvest if you never sow. Every one of us ought to be soul winners. Number 2, be patient with saints. Our text said we should be patient with all men, sinners. And number 2, we need to be patient with saints. That's our fellow brethren and sisters in the Lord and the babes in Christ in the local church. That's those that are just coming in, just just know the Lord as their Savior, brand new converts. I was talking to a man this week who told me that it took him 12 years just to get the assurance of his salvation. 12 years. It took me 10. It took me 10. It takes patience for people to become all they should be. We sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll give them 2 weeks, and then we'll say, well, they must not have really been saved. I see that sometimes. Give them 2 weeks. Well, they must not have really been saved. They dropped out. Maybe they just prayed a prayer. Well, man, it took me a long time. I don't know about you. In 2 Corinthians, if you turn there, chapter 6 and verse number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 4, it says this, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God," and then it gives a whole bunch of different areas we need to be approved as ministers of God. Here's the first one, in much patience. Doesn't say in patience, it says in much patience. We've got to have a lot of patience in dealing with those, especially who are new converts or babes in Christ or they keep messing up. Some of you have been in the Lord a long time and you can reflect back on your growth and how long it took you, how long it took me to learn certain lessons, to establish certain convictions, to conform to certain standards. Remember how long it took some of us? And we need to be patient towards them too. We can't just expect them to get saved and be, you know, perfect little church members in a week or two. Some of them are going to fall away for years and then come back. It's going to happen. It really is. There's going to be people get saved, come to church for a few weeks, a few months, something, fall away for years, and then they're going to come back. And we just need to be patient with them. When they come back, instead of saying, "Where have you been?" we ought to say, "How have you been? How have you been?" And choose our words carefully. "Man, it's nice to see you today. We're glad to have you in fellowship. How are things going for you?" And make them feel welcome. That's one of the greatest fears that keeps backsliders from returning to churches is how they're going to be treated when they come back. I know that for a fact. I do a lot of visitation and I meet a lot of people and they say, "Oh, I can't come back. What would people think about me? I haven't been there in months. I haven't been there in years." I said, I always say to them, if they're good Christians, they're going to be thrilled to see you again. If they're good Christians, they're going to be thrilled. You're going to make their day. You're going to make my day. If I see you back in fellowship, back in the fold, you're going to make my day. We need to be patient with them. Just like a mother or father is patient with their tiny little baby and you know that illustration, you know, they get to be 6 months. If that baby rolls over, they're thrilled. "Hey, my kid rolled over." And they're 10 months old and they're trying to crawl or something like that. "Hey, my kid's crawling." They think that's great. And 1 year old, they get up on their marshmallow legs and they're going like this, you know, and bang, down they go. And the parent thinks that's great. The parent doesn't think, "What is wrong with my kid? My kid deformed or something? Or is my kid need help?" Or no, they say that's great. Why? Because they're growing. They're getting a little bit more strength. And they take one step and everybody's thrilled. They start calling everybody. "Hey, so-and-so took their first step. So-and-so said their first word," and so on and so forth. And we keep track of those things, and eventually they become children, and eventually they become adults, and eventually they become mature, eventually they become leaders. That's going to take a whole lot of patience. We have got to be patient with people, and you've got to have patience in your ministry. This verse right here, written to the church at Corinth, it's not written to a bunch of pastors. It's written to the church members. We're all in the ministry. Verse 3 says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience." Would you or I be approved of God in much patience? Let's say God came up to us with a clipboard It says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. If he had a clipboard and the first thing says, much patience, your name at the top, would he check yes? Would he check yes on my clipboard? Yep, Art Cole, he's got a lot of patience for people. He's approved as a minister of God. He's shown a lot of patience. I believe we would be more fruitful if we had more patience. I'm glad for a little church I grew up in that had, it had its faults, but it had a lot of patient people. Man, it had some patient people. We used to walk in there with our long hair and our white shirts with purple polka dots and our white and blue pinned or striped bell bottoms and high heel shoes, chains around our necks and stuff like that. They'd be there in their suits and ties having church. And man, they treated me like gold. They treated me like gold. They were always glad I was there. Little old ladies would talk to me. I can remember that. Treat me like gold. That made a difference. It took a while before I got some convictions of my own, some standards of my own, and so on and so forth. And I'm just glad that I wasn't hammered at certain stages of my growth. We need to be patient with sinners, be patient with saints, and number three, be patient with self. Be patient with self. I want to say some important things here in these last couple of minutes. We need to be patient with self. You need to be patient with yourself. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. There's a little bit of confusion right here when it comes to being patient with self. Because some people, I guess almost honestly, confuse laziness with patience. Did you know laziness and patience are complete opposites? What do I mean? This is brought up in one particular verse in the Bible. Both thoughts are brought up, and I want you to understand this clearly. When we say, number three, you need to be patient with yourself, in Hebrews 6, in verse 12, it says this. Notice this. That you be not slothful. That's lazy. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice faith and patience are the opposite of slothfulness. Let me illustrate here using a sports analogy that maybe some of you will understand, and I hope all of you do. When a football team drafts a quarterback, first draft. I think a team did that this year. First pick of the whole draft was a quarterback. I guarantee you that team is going to be patient with that draft pick. But I guarantee you that team is going to work him harder than anybody on the team. Patience has nothing to do with laziness. Some people are just flat out lazy. They never accomplish anything in their Christian life. They're never involved. They never learn scriptures. They never pray. They're never in service, and so on and so forth. And they might think, well, I'm just being patient, waiting for the Lord. No, they're lazy. And God has never in this book called a lazy person to do anything. When God called men in this book, he always called working men. Busy men, professional men, character guys, disciplined guys, guys who could show up at work every day, never miss, no excuses. He didn't pick spiritual ones. He picked character guys who had discipline. He said, those are the ones I want in my work. I'll make them spiritual. And then he was patient with them. He didn't pick lazy guys. Did you ever try to help a lazy person? Boy, you talk about frustrating. Wow. Some people are just flat out lazy. It's just a character flaw they have. I don't know what its origin was. They're just flat out lazy. And they just don't like to work. Or the only work they will do is what's for money, but not for the Lord. There's just some people who are lazy by character, especially in spiritual matters. They're just flat out lazy. Don't ever confuse that with patience. Patience is a virtue that a person who is a hard worker has and needs to see the fruit of his labor. As it said here in verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the blessings. Turn to Hebrews 10. Page or two away, Hebrews 10 and verse number 36. 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after you have sat around for a while, you might receive the promise. See that? If that's what some people expect, well, I'm just going to sit around and wait for God to tell me what to do or show me what to do. And it's not what it says, though. Let me read it the correct way. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, they're going to work that quarterback. He's going to be expected to be the first one there at practice. He's going to be expected to stay the longest. He's going to be expected to have the most analysis, the most criticism. He's going to have the most specialized attention. And they're going to work with him as a project. And they're going to work him and work him and work him for years and years and years until he becomes a great quarterback. And then when he becomes a great quarterback, some wise person's going to say, their patience paid off. They're not going to just say, now we just drafted you first. You're getting $8 million, so you just sit over there until you're ready. Okay, we'll mind our business over here. You just sit over there until you're ready, and then we'll put you in. No, they're going to work that guy harder than anybody. Do you know who learns the most patience in God's work? The person who's trying the hardest, the person who's working the hardest. And they work, and they work, and they work, and they work, and they pray. They pray more than anyone else in church. They study more than anybody else in church. They witness more than anybody else, and so on. And they try, and they try, and their ministry. And they start they have their class or their ministry, and not much happens the first year, the second year, the third year, but they work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. They don't quit and give up. And finally, after all that hard work, it starts paying off. And they start to say, man, I'm glad I didn't quit. Because after the patience, then they inherit and receive the promise. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 21, verse number 19, he said, in your patience possess ye your souls. You got to be patient with yourself. In your patience possess ye your souls. I was talking to another man this week. He says, he was saying to me, he said, you know, he said 4 years ago I had a tremendous, tremendous anger problem. He says, I still battle with it. He says, but the Lord's brought me a long ways. The Lord's brought me a long ways in the last 4 years. And I said, brother, don't give up. Don't ever quit. I said, you've made some gains here in the last 4 years. He says, I got a long way to go. I said, no, I know, we all do. I said, but praise God you didn't quit. In your patience possess ye your souls. I've explained this before, but the soul is the spiritual part of your being. And when it says your patience, in your patience possess your souls, it says in your patience you gain the mastery of your spiritual life by being patient. Let me say that again. You gain the mastery of your spiritual life by being patient with yourself. Some people are their own worst enemies. They try the Christian life for a month, and then they say, I can't do this. I tried. I quit. No, you need to be patient. Keep trying. Keep falling. Keep failing. Keep getting up over and over again. String together years and years and years and years of that, and you'll gain the mastery of your own spiritual life. And pretty soon you'll get to the point where you won't even need the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. You'll just do it naturally because you've gained the mastery of your own spiritual life. You know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And then in the Spirit of God, you just do it. And there's aspects of it that get easier and easier and easier. Do not be your own worst enemy. And I'll close with this. In James 1 and verse 4, it says this. This is powerful when it comes to the subject of patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Total satisfaction. That's what the words wanting nothing means. Total satisfaction. But you got to let patience have her perfect work. We need to be patient with sinners. Sow the seed. Leave it there. Don't care if they ridicule you or mock you out or laugh at you. Somebody else is witness to them. Try to water the seed. Ask them, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? No, I'm not. Okay. Just leave the seed there. Let God give the increase. Be patient with sinners. Be patient with saints. Be patient with people being brought into church. Don't know how to act yet. Haven't grown yet. Childish yet. Be patient with them. You were the same way when you were saved. Man, somebody should have threw me out of church about 30 times when I was growing up. But nobody ever did. Be patient with the saints. Be patient with those growing. Don't expect them in 2 weeks to be a solid fundamentalist or something. Sometimes it takes them 10 years to get their assurance. And then be patient with yourself. Don't mean be slothful. Doesn't mean be lazy. It means work harder than anybody else. But while you're working harder, while you're praying more than anybody else, while you're studying more than anybody else, while you're memorizing more than anybody else, while you're serving in the church more than anybody else, while you're witnessing more than anybody else, be patient. Be patient, you'll inherit the promises. That was not the last verse, I'm sorry. This is the last one, and could you please turn to this, and then the kids will be coming up. Colossians 1:11. I want to show you a verse that just blew my mind out on this subject of patience. Just blew my mind. Blew my mind when I read this. Colossians 1:11, chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience. Wow. See, in my fundamentalist training, I always looked at this verse, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for soul winning, for powerful preaching. Man, I remember that. We need the power of God for preaching. We need the power of God for soul winning. We need the power of God for praying. That's what the power of God's for. I can remember that preaching and it just was ingrained into me. This verse doesn't say that. This verse says we need the mighty power of God so we can be patient with people. So we could be patient with people while God's working on them. This will make a more fruitful church and make a more fruitful life for you and I. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. The mighty power of the Holy Ghost is for many things, but One of the things the mighty power of the Holy Ghost is for, so that we'll be more patient with people. We'll be more long-suffering with people. Damn. You know, God's amazing when He's given some time to work on people. Somebody was telling me today about the lobbyist down in Albany. He'd been a homosexual for 9 years. Lived an extremely deviant life. And the Lord saved him. Now he's been married for 23 years. He has, I think, 3 or 4 kids. Our God can do that. Now, some of you don't believe that. Oh, they're reprobates. Yeah, well, he's saving them by the thousands. Why we're calling them reprobates. Our God's mighty. Our God's a God of power. And when there's love, and when there's patience and the Word of God, God can save anybody. And such were some of you. The Bible says such were some of you. Before the Lord changes. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. We want to pray for the blessed Holy Spirit of God to help us. Help me, Lord, to have more patience. Have more long-suffering. Lord, some people think I have a lot of patience, but Lord, I know I need so much more. God, help me. Take away those little agitations, those little irritations that we have, our religious pride. Lord, help us to be like Jesus and get down and dirty with some of the publicans and the sinners and the harlots and some of the up-and-outers, the Pharisees, because from His patience and love with them, we see both groups getting saved in the Bible, their lives being changed. And Lord, when people come in here and their doctor's not quite right yet, their Bible's not right, their dress isn't right, their behavior's not right, Lord, help us to have the long-range vision and project in our hearts towards them that You have toward us. Please teach us patience as a church, Lord, with sinners, with saints, and with ourselves. Lord, don't let us become our own worst enemies. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah.